We completed our series on biomedical Jewish ethics, about putting your life into danger. I mean, there's still a lot to talk about, but for today, I thought since it's Aseret Yemei Tshuva, after Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, I think it would be appropriate to talk about the star of the show. He's called the Beinoni. The Beinoni is the middle guy. You know, he's not this way nor that way. You know, the scales are pretty much at an equilibrium. So I discovered that there are a number of interesting sources on this topic of the Beinoni. You know, how do you get out of that quandrum if you're stuck in that middle category? Because as we'll soon see in the Gemara, we didn't start the Shia yet, but you know, the situation, the status of the Beinoni is very precarious, to say the least. You've all heard of the Dubna Magid. He was famous for his mishalim. He used to give metaphors. So he gives a metaphor. The situation of a Beinoni is like someone who's taken out and they have the noose around his neck. And if he doesn't shape up, they can just kick the table underneath and he's going to perish. So, you know, this is a precarious situation. My father's a Kohen Brachah. He used to always say that most of us are in that category of a Beinoni. You know, we're not great in this way, we're not great that way, but it's not extreme here, extreme there, but we're in the Beinoni. So I'll just tell you what my goal is for today. What I'd like to do is to study with you a number of sources. I'm gonna sort of lower my expectations, and hopefully we'll do even more than what I'm hoping, you know, what I'm expecting. The main piece that we're going to look at is on page 3. So just let me know if you have page 3. And that's Rabbi Itzel Blaser. I'll say a few words about him as we go along. And then the second most important source is on the bottom of page 4. And that's called the Emek Bracha. And I'll say a few words about him as well. Now, we ran out of paper in the photocopy machine. So that what I have here is page 5, which I wasn't able to photocopy for you. That's from Ginsberg, who authored a book called The Tshuvat Hashanah, in which he talks about tshuva during this period of time, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So that's going to be the third goal for this morning. After that, it's just, there's no end to how many different sources there are. In this essay, which is not really an essay, it's just an anthology of sources, he has all told 9 pages. So we're only going to do, let's say, the first 4 or 5. And if we get beyond that, I'll be very happy. He has a Siv Sei Chaim, that's Reb Chaim Friedlander. He has a piece from the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, and that's the Pachad Yitzchak. He has another piece here from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Rosh Hashiva of the Mir. I mean, just endless. And I'll tell you why, because the situation of the Beinoni is so, in a sense, pathetic. It's so vulnerable, it's so scary that all the greats had to address this situation that many of us are facing now as we enter into this period of time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, so I think we could start now. And we're going to take a look at a Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And I'm warning you up front that this is a very textual shiur today. You know, we're really learning sources inside. Hopefully you'll follow them if I can answer any questions or clarify them. Everything will be translated into English, so you don't have to worry about that. And the Gemara Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis establishes, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that on Rosh Hashanah, God actually opens up 3 different ledgers, 3 different sfarim. In one of them, he inscribes, unfortunately, the Rishayim Gmurim. Those are clear-cut evildoers. In another one, on the other extreme, he's got the Tzadikim Gmurim. These are the perfectly righteous Jews. And then in the middle, of course, he has a book for the Beinonim. The Beinonim are somehow, you know, equidistant, somewhere between Rishayim Gemurim and Tzadikim Gemurim. And how does God seal the fate of these 3 categories of individuals? So the statement of Rabbi Yochanan goes as follows: Tzadikim Gemurim, those who have a great record, nichtovim, they're written v'nichtomim, and they're sealed, li'alter immediately, l'chaim, for life. So we certainly want to be in that book if we can. On the other extreme, we have Rishayim, Gemurim, Nechtovim, Nechtom, Li'alta L'Misa. Which, if you translate this literally, it makes no sense whatsoever, but that's not going to be our subject for today's Shia. That's a different Shia, if you'll invite me again. And that is that if you're a Rasha, you're immediately going to die. Now, we know that that's not exactly true. You know, if it were true, maybe the world would look like a healthier place to be in. But at least we know that on Rosh Hashanah there's a signed and sealed judgment for the evildoers, and they are written for Misa, for death. Deyanim, how do you describe their situation? Tluyim v'omdim. Right, as I said before, they're sort of hanging in the balance. Now, the word tluyim, which means sort of suspended in midair, that conjures up the image that we said before. You know, it's a very precarious situation for the Beinoni. He's neither here nor there, he's right in the middle. But then it says omdim. Omdim means that he still has a stature, meaning there's still a possibility for that person to merit being written down in the good books, the books of life. How long of a period of time do we allow him to be in this, you know, middle state where his fate is hanging in the balance and it hasn't been signed and sealed yet? And the answer is 10 days. Mi Rosh Hashanah ad Yom HaKippurim. What's going to happen during these 10 days? So Rabbi Yochanan in this case is very vague, and the balance of our discussion today is going to try to unravel the mystery of what he means. He simply says, Zachu, if they merit it, Nichtovim L'chaim, they'll be written together with the Tzaddikim in the Book of Life. Lo Zachu, if they didn't merit it, the 10-day period went by, and they're in a state of shall we say, a frozen state of no change. Is Nichtovim L'misa, they'll be written down for death. In other words, if I would ask you the following question, I'll give you two options. Tell me whether you like A or B, based on the text of Rabbi Yochanan. A says that unless they're written as, unless they're inscribed as Rishayim, if we finally judge them as evildoers, that they'll survive, because unless you're an evildoer, you don't forfeit your right to live. That's A. Or B, no. They've already forfeited their right to live. If things, status quo remains the same, they will not live. They have to do something, or something has to happen in a positive sense in order for them to be inscribed for life. Which one is right? A or B? Don't all answer at once, because I can't hear too many voices at the same time. No, again, they can't be both right, because they're radically different. The first approach says that if status quo, if there's no change, then this Beinoni is going to perish. He's going to die. He's going to be written down with the Rishayim. The second approach says no, that this person, as is, he's not a Rasha, he's only a Beinoni, he could survive. So what I'm asking is the Beinoni at this point on Rosh Hashanah in a situation where he's going to die unless something happens, or he's going to live unless something happens? Which one is it? Yeah, I was asking a question too, hoping to get an answer.
What do they mean by die? Now, unfortunately, you as a Rav read the same papers that I do. You know that there are men, unfortunately, rabbis and tzaddikim, who are doing wonderful, wonderful things, except when they've done something
right,
which is really, really kill Hashem. And it seems to us, except for those who go to jail, they continue on their lives. So what do we mean by this person's going to die? We're all going to die.
Right. Well, if you take a look at the Gemara says the following. Nichtovim v'nechtovim li'alter l'misa. Do you see the word li'alter? If you look at the text, the word li'alter, which is an Aramaic word translated to English as immediately. So again, we're our subject for today, I can only prepare, you know, what I prepared, and that's the Beinoni. So that's our subject. Who is the Beinoni and what is his fate?
These people who are doing beautiful things,
Right, so that's a different topic. It says here that little altar l'chaim, that immediately they're written, inscribed in the books of life. And in the case of an evildoer, immediately for death. I mean, we know that that's not true. So the question is, what does Gemara mean? As I said, I didn't prepare that for today. So if you'll press me on that, I'll just be embarrassed. You don't want to embarrass me.
I'll speak to you afterwards.
Right. You can't speak to me afterwards because I don't know the answer to your question. I would have to prepare from now until the following week in order to answer your question. But what I did prepare for today is the Benoni. So again, let me come back to my question and see if you could answer my question. My question is, the Benoni, is he now written for death and he has to change his situation in order to live? Or is he now written for life and unless he tips the scale in the negative way, he's going to live? Which way is it?
Maybe he has a whole year to make up his...
Well, again, let's read the text. I told you today, I warned you, it's a textual lecture. So I'm going to translate every word so that you hear it clearly. It says the following. Beinanim, tluyim v'yomdim.
Where is that? I don't...
You don't see it. You'll see... do you notice an underline in the first source on page 1? Do you see any underlines? Oh, okay, my mistake. I meant to say page 1. If I said page 3, again, I have to add another vidui to my alchei. Okay, we're on page 1. We're on the first source. It's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And you'll see about 4 lines are underlined, more or less. So if you're looking at the underline, you're going to look at the third line of the underline, or the fourth line of the underline. You see where it says, Beinanim. Yeah. Beinanim, tluyim v'yomdim. Again, they're up there, you know, suspended in midair from a period of time that starts on Rosh Hashanah and ends on Yom Kippur. Now, watch what's going to happen. Zachu, if they, again, we'll have to see what they have to do in order to be zocher, then they'll be written in the books of life. But if not, in the absence of Zahu, Nichtamim Lemisa. So what's the situation now if this Beinoni who's suspended? Is that person going to live? If nothing changes, status quo, is he going to live?
No.
No, he's going to die. That's how I want to point out to you how precarious the situation of the Beinoni is. If the Beinoni doesn't do something in a positive sense, Zahu, then he's going to die. So he's got to do something. You know, this is not a time to sit back and be passive. If you're in a Beinoni situation, you really got to get your act together. Is that clear?
Does he know that?
Well, if he learned the Gemara, he knows it. If he didn't learn the Gemara, then I don't know. You know, he's in trouble. So let's just think, if a Beinoni means that we calculated his positive mitzvahs on the one side of the scale, we calculated his negative mitzvahs on the negative side of the scale, and what do we have now, if he's a Beinoni? An equilibrium. Everybody know that word? It means it's exactly equal. So let's say he's got 100 mitzvahs, I'm just using a number, out of my head, and he's got 100 averis. It's perfectly balanced, what we call a stalemate. What would you say he needs to do now?
A whole bunch more.
You should not be a little bit stubborn.
Again, I calculated 100 and 100. Are you telling me I have to add tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah? That's another 3. He has to add 3? Is the minimum number 3?
No. One of them.
One, correct?
One of them at least.
Okay, what happens if he puts on tefillin? What happens if he makes a dough and he's mafresh challah? Okay, what happens if he does one mitzvah? Should that be enough? Again, I'm going to go over this for the third time, because if you're not with me, I'm wasting my time. The whole shiur is going to go down the tubes. Listen carefully. He's got 100 mitzvahs. He's got 100 violations. What does he need to tip the scale?
One
mitzvah. Is that clear? Again, that has to be very clear. Okay, that's all true. Before we look in Rabbeinu Hananel, Rabbeinu Hananel is a little bit small. The print is very difficult. You'll have to rely on me here. And Rabbeinu Hananel says, it's an underline on the right size, he said that as far as the Beinoni is concerned, im asa tshuva, then nechtav l'chaim. The Rabbeinu Hananel, one of the outstanding Rishonim, says that he has to do tshuva in order to get himself written up in the book of life. Now, if you want to see that even clearer, you'll take a look at page 2, which is the flip side of your page 1. And does anybody know what we're looking at here in the main text, the main body of the text, the many commentaries around the text? Who are we looking at on page 2? This is the Rambam. And the Rambam is the primary source for the laws of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tshuva. And again, you'll see in Perek Gimel Milchus Tshuva Halacha Gimel, you'll take a look at the underline, and the Rambam writes, Kishem sheshoklim zechuyos odem v'havanosav, just like God weighs a person's zechuyot, zechuyot means his merits, and avonot, and his sins, b'shas misoso, before he dies, kach b'chol shana v'shana, so too on an annual basis, God weighs a person's sins, and this happens on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Basically, the Rambam is saying that on Rosh Hashanah there's judgment. We know that Rosh Hashanah is called the Yom HaDin. It's the day of judgment, is it not? So what happens when God judges us, each and every one of us, on Rosh Hashanah? Mishanim tzadik, if he's a tzadik, nechtam lechayim, he is written in the book of life. Mishanim tzarasha, if he's found wanting, he's guilty, he's an evildoer. Nechtam lemisa, he's inscribed for death. Va'benoni, tolim oso, he's suspended ad Yom HaKippurim. So what's going to happen now? He's in this, you know, state of suspended animation. You know, he's somewhere in the middle. What happens to him when we get to Yom Kippur? Says the Rambam, im asa tshuva, if he repents, then nechtam l'chayim, then it'll be written and inscribed in the book of life, im lav. But if he doesn't do what? Tshuva, nechtam l'misa, he'll be inscribed for death. So I ask you the following question. If you follow the Rambam, what would be if a person has 100 against 100 and he does one more mitzvah? Would he be able to be now merit being written in the book of life?
Hopefully.
No, the answer is no. Because again, I'm asking you to read the Rambam. You might say hopefully, but Berzon is challenging you to read the Rambam. The Rambam says, again, listen carefully. You have to hear the Rambam. Imagine we're going back in a time machine, 1,000 years, and we're sitting in a class. It's not Rabbi Berzon who's teaching the class. You don't have to pay attention to Rabbi Berzon. But it's the Rambam, Maimonides, one of the greatest minds that we ever had, if not the greatest, since Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Rambam about the Benoni, im asa tshuva, if he repents, then he's inscribed in the book of life. Im lav, if he doesn't repent, he is inscribed in the book of death. I ask you the following question. What would the Rambam say if a person has 100 versus 100 and then he does another mitzvah? It's not going to do it for him, because the Rambam says, im lav, if he doesn't do tshuva, he's going to be inscribed in the book of misa, of death. The Rambam allows for only one way of getting out of this conundrum, getting out of this problem and this problematic situation of a Benoni. A Benoni has to fight desperately for his right to live. And the only way he could be successful in that fight is if he does tshuva. And again, I'm not asking you to open up to page 3 yet, but I just want you to see the name of the person on the top of page 3. His name is Rabbi Itzel Blaser, otherwise known in the world of the Musar movement as Rabbi Itzel Petterberg, because he was a rabbi in the city of Petterberg in Russia. And he was one of the outstanding students of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the founder of the Musar movement and the Book of Ethics. And he writes in his work called Kochvei Or, he was an author of many different works, but in this particular work, he quotes the Rambam, and now you can open up to page 3 and you can see some of it underlined on your page. And the Rambam, he quotes verbatim, and the Rambam says that if he does tshuva, then he could be... there'll be salvation. He'll be spared of death if he does tshuva. Says the Rabbi Itzel Blaser, Rabbi Itzel Petterberg, that b'muskal rishon, when we look at this Rambam at first glance, Yipole Ma'od. This is a very strange Rambam. Who is a Beinoni? A Beinoni is someone whose actions are mechza, half zechuyot on the good side, the positive side, who mechza and half on the negative side. Nimsa, then, just by sheer mathematics, eino chasa lo kak mitzvah achas. All he needs is one extra mitzvah, lachria, to tip the scale in favor of his chuyot. Now he has 101 against 100. V'im kein, therefore, afim lo yasa tshuva klal, even if he doesn't engage in repentance, nevertheless, yuchal achas, yuchal liskos bedin, he can certainly be found with a favorable judgment because he now has one more mitzvah than he has averos. So why does the Rambam say that the only way he could save himself if he does tshuva, and the Rambam is outspoken, if he doesn't do tshuva, he's going to be recorded in the book of death, whatever that means. So Rabbi Itzel Blazer is really, really perturbed about this. How could it be that the Rambam makes it conditional on the fact that he does what? Tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, that's it. Finito. He is gone. He's a goner. Why? Why can't he do one mitzvah? Why isn't one mitzvah enough? He's in a situation of mechza al mechza, half and half. He's got 50-50. It's an absolute, you know, the scales are balanced. Let him just do one mitzvah. No, the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says that he has to do tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, then he will die. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe he'll die within a certain period of time. I don't know, whatever it means. How could it be? And now Rav Itzel of Blazer, in order to strengthen his problem, to strengthen his question, his argument against the Rambam, he quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin. Now take a look on page 1 again. Does everybody have page 1?
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll look at the second source on page 1. This is a Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, Li'olam yira adam atzmo, a person should always view himself, ki'ilu chetzio chaya v'chetzio zakai. What is my, when I look in the mirror, what do I see in the mirror? What I see in the mirror is a person who's half and half. So what do I do if I'm half and half, 50-50, I'm in an equilibrium? Says the Gemara, asa mitzvah achas, if he does one mitzvah, Ashrav, how fortunate he is. Shehechria, hechria. Hechria means to tip the scale. Atzmo, he tips the scale on his own behalf. Lekaf schutz, towards the good side. But avar avera achas, if he violates one avera, oilo, woe to him. Shehechrias atzmo lekaf chova. And then he puts himself on the negative side. Then if you fast forward to the next underline on the same page, it says, Asa mitzvah achas ashrav shechriyas atzum ves kol ha'olam. This is based on a statement of Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon, who says that ha'olam, that a person should view it as if the entire universe is in judgment, is in balance. Why? Because the entire world, every human being that walks on this globe together, you know, as a sum total, what we have is the world is half and half. It's half zchuyot, and it's half avonot. So therefore, if a person does one mitzvah, ashrov, how fortunate he is, shechrias atzmo, he tips the scale for himself, but not only that, ves kol ha'olam lekaf zchutz, he saves the entire world. Because the world is in a situation of 50-50. But Omar Avera Achas, if he violates one Avera, Oilo, woe to him, Shechrias Atzmo, Veskola Olam Kulo Lekaf Chova, now he tips the scale in the negative sense. So that if a person is a Beinoni, he's right there in the middle, according to the Gemara and Kiddush, what does he need to do in order to save himself?
One mitzvah.
Says Rav Blazer, I don't understand. The Rambam says that if he does tshuva, he can save himself. If he doesn't do tshuva, he'll be written down for death. Why is that so? Why isn't one mitzvah sufficient? The Rambam goes out of his way to say, no, it's not enough that he did a mitzvah. He's got to do tshuva. So in order to try to make some sense out of the Rambam, Rav Isla presents the following thesis. This you'll see on page 3. If you go back to page 3, I think we have some photocopies in the back if anybody wants to see it inside. And he says the following. Hine Yadua. This is the last paragraph on the right column on page 3. He says the following. That the judgment of the 10 days of tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not limited to what he calls avonos and mitzvos. No. The judgment for the Beit Din during these 10 days is for something else. It's all about tshuva. The judgment of these 10 days for a Beit Din, again, the tzaddikim are written in the Book of Life. They don't have to swear. The Rishayim, forget it. That's a lost cause. On Rosh Hashanah, they've been already inscribed in the Book of Death, whatever that means. They'll die here, they'll die in this world, next world, whatever it means. But the Beit Din is being judged during this period of time. About what? About the numbers, like we said before, 100 against another 100? Well, then one mitzvah should be able to tip the scale. No. The judgment during this 10-day period is about tshuva. It's only about tshuva. And let's read the language of Rabbi Itzhak Blaser, one of the great shining lights of the Musar movement. He writes on the third line, "Binosaf al chata'av." On top of the sins that he's guilty of, that was the 100, "Hinhu nitba biglal minias hatshuva." There'll be a claim against him. You know, I don't want to, during this period of time, starting today, for the next couple of weeks, I don't want to use the word prosecution, because it, in our state of Israel, that has, I don't know if you're following the news, but, you know, that has a very heavy meaning to it. But basically, the prosecution here is against Minias HaTshuva. Who could tell me what Minias HaTshuva means? I'm going to underline this because this is the breakthrough of Rabbi Isla Blaser. Miniat HaTshuva. What does that mean?
The prevention of tshuva.
Miniat means what? The absence.
The absence
of tshuva. The tviya here, the claim of the prosecution, is that you did not do tshuva. You got 10 days, starting with Rosh Hashanah, ending with Yom Kippur. And you have an incredible opportunity, but not only an opportunity, but also what? A responsibility, an obligation to do tshuva. In the case of the Beit Din, that's a very serious obligation, because if he doesn't do tshuva, then the tviya against him, the prosecution against him, will say, why didn't you do tshuva? Now why? I mean, you could ask this the whole year round. A person should do tshuva. He has 100 sins. He should be busy doing tshuva. Why is it that during this 10-day period there is a specific demand? And if you don't live up to this demand, it might mean kaput, to do tshuva. And he says the following. This is in the middle column. He says that there's a specific requirement of tshuva during this period of time, because God makes it easy for a person to do tshuva during this period of time. And the language is Yafe B'Yoser. This period of time is most perfect for tshuva. And he says Umiskabelis Himiyad, and his tshuva will be accepted immediately. Why? Because Dirshu Hashem B'Matzo, seek God when He is to be found. And Chazal interpret this that during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Hashem is there. He's found. He makes himself, with a capital H, himself available. God is there. He's waiting for you to do tshuva. Not only that, his arms are extended to do tshuva. And what does the man do? He doesn't do tshuva. Says Rabbi Itzel Blazer, imagine if the king shows up and tells you that this is your opportune moment to have an encounter with the king. So what do? You turn your back and you run the other way. What does the king feel if that happens? He's insulted, is he not? I mean, here the king himself came to appear and have a meeting with you, a rendezvous with you. He's waiting for you to embrace him. He's waiting for you to size up and shape up. He's waiting for you to have requests. And instead, what do? You turn your back and you leave. Says Rabbi Itzel, and this you'll see in the last paragraph on page 3. We don't have time to go through the whole piece. But he says the following. Im lo yaseh tshuva. If he doesn't respond in tune, God shows up and makes himself available, and he doesn't respond in tshuva, this guy, lo toyelo, it's not going to help him, mashi Yosef mitzvah achas, that he added another mitzvah. Why? Because again, he may have added another mitzvah, but there's heavy weight on the negative side. What's the heavy weight on the negative side? If all he did during these 10 days is add another mitzvah, what's going to be the negative side that now becomes very, very heavy? And on the scales is going to outweigh that extra mitzvah. So you have 100 and 100. Now he adds an extra mitzvah. So he has 101 mitzvahs. But he didn't do what?
Tshuva.
If he didn't do tshuva, what does that add to the 100 on the negative side? He says that whatever it is, it's so weighty that it by far outweighs the extra mitzvah that he did. Mi odea, he writes, ad kama tichbad mishkalo. Who could evaluate how much weight he's added on the negative side of the negative side of the equation in the scales? Vu kineged kama v'kama mitzvos. It might outweigh many, many different mitzvahs. So he got up in the morning and he prayed and he put on his talis and his tefillin and he made a bracha before he ate. Not today. And all the mitzvahs that he did. It doesn't matter, because no matter how many mitzvahs he does, none of that is going to outweigh that one heavy negative blotch. Is this ink spot on his record that he didn't do tshuva, because tshuva during this period of time is absolutely critical. That's what these days are called, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. These are 10 days of what? Of tshuva. So even though you have tshuva the whole year round, but there's a very specific double obligation to do tshuva during this period of time. That's what God is calling out to us. Here I am. It's very easy. Tshuva is very accessible. It's yafu miskabel es miyad. And a person goes ahead and lo shav b'tshuva b'yamim elu. He doesn't do tshuva. He doesn't avail himself of this possibility. Is avono kveda miod. He's got a very severe violation. And that's what the Rambam wants in order for this Beinoni to salvage, to save himself. He's got to avoid minyas hachuva. Right? That's a double negative. But what it means is he has to do tshuva. Because if he doesn't do tshuva, that's a very, very heavy negative violation. A very big blemish on his record. Hine, he writes, for Rosh Hashanah. Maybe on Rosh Hashanah, he hasn't yet gone into the full swing of the obligation to do tshuva, because on Rosh Hashanah he's busy with tefillah, with shofar. He's preoccupied with Rosh Hashanah and all its mitzvos. But once he gets out of Rosh Hashanah, his main obligation now is chovas hatshuva. And this is not the same obligation of tshuva that applies the whole year round. This is much more intense, much more demanding. And we're not going to give him much time to do tshuva. We're going to, the minutes are ticking away. We're going to give him up to Yom Kippur, but that's it. If by Yom Kippur he doesn't do tshuva, that's like a slap in the face, kaviyachol, to the Ribono Shel Olam, because he didn't fulfill that heavy, major obligation to do tshuva. And therefore, Menias HaTshuva alone, the fact that he didn't do tshuva, is enough to tip the scale of the Beinoni, and he's going to be written and inscribed in the Book of Death. So my friends, when we say that these are Aseres Yemei Tshuva, according to Rabbi Itzel Blazer, that means a lot more than what we think it means. The Gemara in Kiddushin, says Rabbi Itzel Blazer, that says he's, the whole year round he should see himself half and half, right? Half Averis and half Mitzvah. So what does he have to do? One Mitzvah. Because the Gemara in Kiddushin is not talking about Aseres Yemei Tshuva when there was a judgment on Rosh Hashanah that he's abandoned it. The whole year round it suffices to do one mitzvah. But now, during these 10 days of tshuva, are you following me? There's a special, unique, heavy demand obligation to do tshuva. And if he doesn't avail himself of that possibility, that's a slap in the divine face, so to speak. If I could use that term. Whew. This puts the Aseres Yemei Tshuva in a whole new perspective for anyone who fits the category of what? Of a Beinoni. Did I use a word that wasn't clear?
No, I asked my husband for a definition. I said, well, what's Tshuva? You said he did something wrong in repenting or whatever.
Tshuva is made up of three parts. Again, that's another hour discussion, today.
No, we don't want another hour.
Right.
Just one.
Correct. So I'm just going to give you the highlights, what I call the tip of the iceberg. What is tshuva? Tshuva is made up of three parts. The first part is what we call aziva sachet, means desisting from sin, stopping the sin. And getting, I'm no longer involved in the sin. That's number one. The second part of tshuva is what's called charata, or sheyisnachem al ha'aver, which means regret. He has to feel a genuine sense of regret on what he did in the past. The third element of tshuva is what's called kabbalah al ha'asim, which means a resolution for the future. Now, on the bottom of your page 4, we move on to our second source, and that's the Emek Bracha. His last name was Pomeranchik. His first name was Aryeh. Pomeranchik. He died, I would guess, roughly about a half a century ago. So he's really a contemporary. He was a student of my Rebbe's uncle, the Brisker Rav. Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Alevi Soloveitchik. Very often he quotes his Rebbe. In this particular piece, he has his own original idea. First of all, let me tell you that the Emek Bracha in this particular piece is not happy with Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser. He very sharply disagrees with him. He thinks he has a problem with Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser's approach. And he says the following, that if you look carefully in the Rambam, you will see that this approach to Aseres Yemei Tshuva, where all the focus is on tshuva, exclusively on tshuva, not on mitzvahs, is not correct. And he points out that Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser is, in a certain sense, oblivious. He's ignoring the language of the Rambam. Because take a look at the Rambam's language. Again, we're back on page 2. So again, you should have in front of you page 4 and page 2, both open at the same time. I think you could do that, no? Or maybe you can.
Yeah.
You can? Okay, that's good. So the Rambam says the following. This is in Halacha Dalet. What we read until now is Halacha Gimel in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva. Now we're fast-forwarding to Halacha Dalet. And the Rambam writes, Tzarech kol adam sheyira atzmo kol hashana kula Kilu chetzi zakai v'chetzi chayev. A person should view himself the whole year round as if he's in a balance, he's in an equilibrium situation, half-half. And v'chein kol ha'olam. And that's how he should view the entire universe. Chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayev. And therefore, look at the responsibility. This Rambam is all about the awesome responsibility placed on the shoulders of each and every one of us. Chata chet echad, if he sins, one sin. Harei echrias atzmo v'skol ha'olam kulo l'kaf chova. He has now tipped the scale in favor of chova. Chova means destruction. Garam lo hashchas, the destruction of the world. Also mitzvah achas, if he would fulfill one mitzvah, then he tips the scale in his favor and the entire world in his favor. The garam lo v'lahem tshuva v'atzol, and he saves the entire world. So again, what would Rav Issel Blazer say over here where the Rambam is talking about doing one mitzvah? Do you see that, Rambam? The Rambam says, Asa mitzvah achas. Well, I don't get it. Rav Issel Blazer says that it's all about one mitzvah, but that mitzvah is tshuva, and it's exclusively tshuva. So what would Rav Issel Blazer answer? This Rambam is not referring to what? To aseret yemei tshuva. He's referring to the whole year round. Because again, you remember the Gemara in Kiddushin says that as far as the whole year round is, you see yourself half and half, and all you have to do is one mitzvah. However, says the Emek Bracha, look at the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Umipnei inyan zeh," because of this concept, "Nagu kol beis Yisrael," the custom amongst all the Jewish people is laharbos bitzdako v'masim tovim v'lasok v'mitzvos mirosh Hashanah v'yad Yom HaKippur v'yosem mikol Hashanah. The Rambam is saying that because of this situation of the Beinoni, our minig, our custom is that during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we add tzedakah, we add ma'asim tovim, we add mitzvos in order to be zocheh b'din. Now, the Rambam is talking about the Beinoni, and he's talking about Aseres Yimei Tshuva. How could Rav Issel say that the Rambam holds that you need tshuva and only tshuva? The only thing that could possibly save you is tshuva, after the Rambam himself says that. How can we make any sense out of the custom that's codified here by the Rambam of adding extra mitzvot, extra tzedakah, etc., etc.? So there's no way of interpreting the Rambam that everything depends upon tshuva. The Rambam clearly says that our minig was to be marbe v'tzedakah v'maisim tovim. And dafka when? During this period of time from Rosh Hashanah to Yom HaKippurim.
10 days.
What did he say?
10 days.
In 10 days. So the Emek Bracha therefore offers an entirely different interpretation of the Rambam. And he says the following, that the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah of tshuva because there's something absolutely unique about the mitzvah of tshuva. And that's called limafreya. Again, if I had a board here, I'd write the word down. Who knows what the word limafreya means? Okay, in fancy English, it's called retroactive. So let me ask you the following. Can I change the past? If you would ask the average person who walks this globe, can I change the past? What would be his answer?
No.
No, you can't change the past. The past is irretrievable, irrevocable. It's engraved in stone. There's nothing you can do to change the past. Well, what is the Torah's hashkafa? There's one thing that can achieve changing the past. So what's that?
Tshuva.
Excellent. Tshuva. Tshuva works l'mafreya retroactively. And it's really mind-boggling because the Gemara tells us at the end of Yuma that not only can you take an avera that you did an avera in the past and you can erase it through tshuva, more than that, If you do the ideal tshuva, which is called tshuva me'av, out of love of God, is averos nasimo kizachios, which means that his negative violations become positive. That's how far he could retroactively change the past. Says Rav Itzel Blasen, now we begin to understand why the Rambam puts so much emphasis here on tshuva, that during this 10-day period of time, we have the ability to change the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, because we can impact on our sins and erase them l'mafreya retroactively through tshuva, and only through tshuva. That's the power, the unique power of tshuva. So in a sense, what Rav Pomeranchik is telling us is that by adding another mitzvah, that's great the whole year round. But on, you know, in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva after Rosh Hashanah and before Yom Kippur, if somebody would be kind enough to close the door, it would help me here, because I'm finding myself distracted. Thank you so much. Tizkele mitzvot. During this 10-day period of time, when did the judgment take place? In this 10-day period of time that starts on Rosh Hashanah. At the beginning, in the middle, at the end? At the beginning, on Rosh Hashanah. That was the day of judgment. So you've already been judged. God is not going to change the judgment. What, are you going to add another mitzvah? What good is that? The whole year around it might help, but during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, after Rosh Hashanah, when God already judged you, your judgment is engraved in stone. So what good is it if you add another mitzvah? It's too late for another mitzvah. Ah, but there's one accomplishment that could change the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. What's that?
Teshuva.
Because teshuva works. Everybody, l'mafreya. L'mafreya means retroactively. So now, Rosh Hashanah happens again, so to speak. Now Rosh Hashanah repeats itself. That judgment of Rosh Hashanah now is in a different light entirely because of tshuva. The only thing is, then, our problem still remains. I think Rav Pomeranchik has taken us a major step forward in understanding this, Rabbi, but we're still in the dark about one thing. Remember the minhag, the custom was, and we still have this custom, Baruch Hashem, today, that during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, We add extra mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, and we add staka, and we add Torah study, and what else did the Rama mention? He says that we should recite slichos. You know, right? That's what he says. Lasok kulam. To wake up early, again, he goes through the whole thing about slichos over here. So we have now a period of time in which we intensify our meisim tovim, our mitzvos, and this is probably ben odom l'mako ben odom l'chavero. This is from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, but according to the Emek Bracha, what good is it if I add mitzvahs? Then the judgment was the only thing that could change the judgment, which means for l'mafreya, is only what? Only tshuva. So what kind of exercise of futility is this? Is during the 10 days I'm busy with mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim? Okay, slichos, maybe while I'm reciting slichos I do tshuva, perhaps, I don't know.
What about tefillah?
Tefillah doesn't work l'mafreya, though. Again, if your judgment is already signed and sealed, tefillah is not going to do it, because how can you change the judgment? The only thing that can change the judgment is something that works l'mafreya, which would require you to do tshuva, and therefore the Rambam says that you got to do tshuva during this 10 period of time. Now, I mentioned at the outset that there's another source here, which is on page 5 and page 6, which you don't have in your photocopies. And that's called Tshuvas Hashon. It's written by Rav Ginsberg, Shlita. And he has a slightly different approach to the Rambam.
Teshuva.
Yeah, it's called Tshuvat Hashanah. You can look it up on Google.
Hashanah.
I tried to order the book, but they said they're it's out of print right now. Tshuvat Hashanah. If anybody wants a photocopy, I'll give it to you after the shiur.
What does Hashanah mean?
The year. The Tshuva of the year. In other words, he's talking about the whole cycle of the year. And on this particular period of time, which is the 10 days, it's the days of tshuva. So that's how the calendar, you know, you have to set up the calendar in such a way that makes sure you block off these 10 days for tshuva. And he says that, you know what the Rama means here? The Rama means that in order to change the judgment, what you have to do is you have to change your name. Oh, you don't take me seriously, I hope.
What?
Have you ever changed your name? Is anyone here in the room ever went through a name change? It's a whole legal process.
I have a good name. My name is Gittel. So why would I change it?
Right. So why would you change your name? So the Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, I'll read it to you. The Rambam says that if a person is doing tshuva, midarkei tshuva, one of the ways of doing tshuva is mishanah shmo. He changes his name. Now, I don't know if the Rambam means this literally and legally, you know, go through a name change, get yourself a new passport, or here we would say a new tudat zehut. The Rambam says, klomar, what does it mean to change your name? It's a declaration. Ani acher, I'm somebody else. Any oso aish, I'm not the same person. Sha'asa oso and hamaisim, I'm not the person who is guilty of those sins. I'm a new person. In other words, the ultimate ideal of tshuva, says the Rambam, is a whole transformation of personality. Again, he says in tangible terms, maybe he changes his name. I don't know if the Rambam means literally he has to change his name. But what he means is he can come to the Ribono Shel Olam and say, God, you judged me based on who I was then, but now I'm a different person. That judgment is no longer relevant to me. Says the Tshuvas Hashana, that there is one mitzvah, one endeavor that can allow me to change my personality. And that is tshuva. The unique power that's inherent in tshuva is that it can achieve a personality change, a name change, an identity change. You remember Clark Kent and Superman, right? I'm a new person. So God, you may have judged me on Rosh Hashanah, and unfortunately you found me wanting. At best I'm a Benini, but no, I'm going to change myself. How do I change myself? How do I re-identify myself? I do tshuva. And if I do the highest level of tshuva in the ideal sense, it's like I change my name, I change my personality.
Could you add to your name?
Maybe adding to your name would be sufficient. But again, I don't know if the Rambam really means that you have to go through a legal procedure of changing your name. Gittel's a very nice name. I'm not encouraging you to change your name Gittel.
No.
If you show up at Reb Chaim Kanevsky, I think Gittel is okay, but there's certain names he doesn't like. I don't know if you've heard about that. Anyway, you know, going to Reb Chaim Kanevsky may by definition force you to change your name. I don't know. I never tried it. My name is biblical, so I don't think he would ask me to change my name.
He doesn't like Yiddish names.
I'm not sure. There's certain names he likes, certain he doesn't like, you know. But anyway, I don't want to get off on a tangent. We don't have too much time left. I just want to push you towards this unbelievable chiddush here, this new understanding of this book called Tshuvas Hashana. And his fundamental thesis is that I change my name. I change my identity. It's not the way that we saw in the Emek Bracha that tshuva works on Afreya, and therefore the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is no longer relevant because I wasn't guilty of those sins. No, I am guilty of those sins, but I'm a different person. I can re-identify myself. I change myself. It's a metamorphosis. It's a transformation of personality. And he says this is what we mean when we pray. In our prayers, we say, "Lemancha Elokim Chaim," write me down in the book of life. Because Vedim say, Lemancha, what does Lemancha mean? For your sake, God. It means that I've changed my approach. I've changed my direction. My direction now is focused Lemancha, for your benefit. Because I want to bring out the glory of God. All my actions now, I'll prove it to you, are done for the sake of your glory. How does a person during the 10 days of tshuva prove that he has now changed his entire direction, and now his agenda and his goal is lemancha, it's for the sake of God, through ribui mitzvos, through maisim tovim, through adding extra mitzvos during this period of time? That's the way he proves and he demonstrates that he's not the person. He doesn't need a name change. Gittel is fine. But if Gittel does a deep, profound tshuva, then that judgment of Rosh Hashanah is no longer relevant because she underwent a personality and identity change. I guess instead of Superman, we'll call it Superwoman, right? And that's the identity change. And that's what he calls Hishtanus HaGavra. That's the change of the person. That's why the Rambam emphasizes tshuva. But now our minhag is to do ribui mitzvos during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And why? Because we're demonstrating to Hashem that our focus, our purpose is Leman Cholokim Chayim. It's for your sake. And that's going to be the approach in which man can establish that he's the different personality, and the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is no longer relevant to him. So we now have three different approaches to the Rambam. We'll summarize. The first approach, which was that of Rabbi Issel of Blaza, one of the great shining lights of the Muslim movement, was that the reason why the emphasis here is on tshuva, because during these days of tshuva, if you don't do tshuva, that's a real blotch. That's a real blemish on your, you know, it's an ink blot on your record. And then we have the approach of the Emek Bracha, that tshuva singled out because tshuva is the only method that we have to redo the past, l'mafreya, retroactively, so that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is no longer relevant. And now we have the approach of Rav Ginsburg in the Tshuva Hashanah, and he says that what's unique about tshuva is that it indicates an entirely different identity. In other words, I'm changing my whole purpose in life. I'm changing my goals. It's a it's an issue of priorities. You know, what are my priorities now? My priorities are mitzvos and my simtovim. My priorities are to bring out the glory of God. That's my name change. That's my personality. What was inscribed in the book on Rosh Hashanah is relevant to the old me, but not to the new me. So my friends, I want to wish you all a great deal of success. We still have a week left till Yom Kippur, and we should use that time very productively and take this very seriously. We might just be Beinonim, and the precarious situation of Beinonim is quite frightening. So let's do tshuva, because these are the days in which Dirsha Hashem v'Yimatzo, God is there. His arms are open. He's available for an encounter. He's waiting for us to do tshuva. Let's not let him down.
The average person who's not into Gemara, we go through the day, we give tzedakah and smile at people. And then you do something wrong. What is the wrong, and how does it compare one wrong to 10 good things? Or the people who do one really, really abusive act against a child or against a person, they could do 100,000 mitzvahs.
Right.
I think it's a very...
That's why we're not calculating mitzvahs like a ticker tape up in Shemayim. It's not like something that that we're weighing it not qualitative, not quantitatively, but qualitative.
Yeah, because there was one particular person, very big, he helped